we all see those medical bills, right? And they just seem to keep going up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, ouch. But have you ever noticed it's the same with dental?
It is. It is.
It's almost like we kind of just accept it as like, oh, dental.
Yeah.
Until, you know, you're staring at a really big estimate and then you're like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of know health insurance, got to have it. But
right.
Dental insurance is often like, maybe later, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think a lot of us are wondering, like, what's the deal with this dental insurance anyway? What does it actually cover? And how does it even work?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what we're diving into today to try to give you a better understanding of this, like, kind of important part of healthcare that maybe we don't always think enough about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've looked at a bunch of information on dental expense plans, really from soup to nuts.
Okay.
You know, all the way from like basic checkups to some more complicated stuff. And we tried to pick out, you know, some of the key things to think about, especially, you know, if you get your plan from your job.
Okay. So we all know, I guess, that dental insurance exists.
Right.
And it probably covers something, hopefully it covers something more than just like telling me to floss better.
Right.
But what are we really talking about here? When we say like, dental expense plans, what kind of treatments are on the table?
Well, you know, it's a pretty wide range, actually. It typically starts with what they call diagnostic and preventive care.
Okay.
Which is kind of all the stuff that's meant to, you know, keep the problems from even happening in the first place.
Right.
So that's like your regular exams, all the different x-rays, cleanings,
right,
even fluoride applications, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting, like these are usually covered pretty well.
Okay.
It's almost like the insurance companies are like, look, let's spend the money now to keep your teeth healthy so we don't have to pay for the bigger stuff later.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's definitely in everybody's best interest to catch things early.
For sure.
But, you know, what happens when, despite our best efforts, something does need fixing?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when we get into what they call restorative treatments.
Okay.
So if you've got like a damaged tooth, usually from decay,
right?
You know, procedures like getting fillings, crowns, that kind of stuff. That's all under this.
Okay.
And then there's oral surgery. I mean, we all know someone who's had their wisdom teeth out.
Right.
That's kind of a classic example.
Yeah, it's like a rite of passage almost.
Exactly, exactly.
So what about if the problem's not so obvious? You know, what if it's something more internal going on?
Yeah, if it goes a little deeper, like it's affecting the pulp.
Yeah.
You know, that's the soft tissue inside the tooth.
Yeah.
That's where endodontics comes in.
Okay.
Classic example there is a root canal.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's favorite.
Everybody loves a good root canal.
And then you've got periodontics. So this is all about your gums.
Yeah.
And like the bone that supports your teeth.
Gotcha.
So treatments for gum disease would all fall under that.
Okay. So we're talking about like basic repairs and then some more like, I guess, structural issues.
Right.
What about when like a whole tooth is missing or even multiple teeth?
Yeah. So that's where prosthodontics comes in.
Okay.
That's all about, you know, bridges, implants, all the stuff that replaces missing teeth.
Right. Right.
Which can be huge,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Not just for cosmetics, but also just being able to chew properly.
Exactly. And then, you know, there's the thing that I think a lot of people probably associate with dental work more than anything, and that's orthodontics.
Right.
And that's especially for younger people.
Breast.
Braces, right?
Braces, that's orthodontics. Basically, it's all about straightening things out.
Right.
And now that often comes with its own whole set of rules.
Okay.
You know, like separate deductibles or annual maximums just for ortho.
Gotcha. So it sounds like we're talking about potential help with pretty much any dental issue you might run into.
Pretty much.
So let's talk about how you actually access that care. We hear a lot about in-network and out-of-network. How does choosing one over the other actually affect your costs?
Yeah, that gets into the choice of provider stuff in your plan.
Okay.
So traditional indemnity plans, those give you the most freedom. You can go to any dentist you want, and the plan will still cover something. But most plans these days are PPOs.
PPOs, okay.
Preferred provider organizations.
Okay.
And these have, you know, a network of dentists who've agreed to, like, preset fees.
Okay.
So if you stick with a dentist in that PPO network, you're usually going to get the best coverage.
Right.
Like 80 to 100% for covered stuff. But if you go out of network, you still have that freedom, but, you know, your reimbursement's going to be lower.
Right.
Maybe, like, 50 or 60%.
Okay, so it's a significant difference.
Yeah, it can be.
And it's not just about the percentage, right?
Yeah, right. And sometimes those negotiated rates within the PPO are actually lower than the usual rates in your area,
Wow, okay.
even for dentists who aren't in the network.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double whammy in your favor to stay in network.
That's a really interesting point about the PPO rates maybe just being lower across the board. Okay, so our sources also mentioned scheduled and non-scheduled plans.
Right.
And I gotta say, that sounds a little confusing.
Yeah, it's basically about how your plan figures out how much they're going to pay for each procedure.
Okay.
So with a scheduled plan, there's a set maximum for each thing, no matter what the dentist actual charges. It's like a price list. But most plans are non-scheduled.
Okay.
They pay a percentage of what they consider the AM, usual, customary, and reasonable charge.
Okay.
They call it UCR.
UCR, okay.
Kind of like how comprehensive medical insurance usually works.
Okay, so scheduled is like there's a ceiling, this is the most we're gonna pay for this thing.
Ex
And non-scheduled is more like we're gonna figure it out based on what other people are charging in your area.
Exactly. And it can be a little mysterious how they figure out that UCR, but
Right.
that's the general idea.
Okay, gotcha. And then I guess there are combination plans
Right.
where they try to mix those two approaches.
Right. They kind of blend them. So often they'll cover those preventive services, checkups, cleanings, based on those UCR rates. But then for other stuff like fillings or crowns, they might use the fixed fee schedule.
So it's like you got to look really closely at the plan to figure out exactly how they're going to come up with what they pay.
Yeah. You got to read the fine print.
So I guess just like with health insurance, we hear about deductibles, co-insurance. Do those play a role in dental too?
Oh, absolutely. And how those work can be different depending on what kind of service you're getting.
Okay.
Now, the good news is for those diagnostic and preventive things we talked about,
Right.
checkups, cleanings, that's usually covered without a deductible or co-insurance.
Okay, that's good.
But there are usually limits on how often you can get them, like
Yeah.
twice a year for cleanings, maybe x-rays every couple of years, something like that.
Okay, so it's not like go to the dentist every week and get a cleaning.
Right.
Gotcha.
But it's good that those regular checkups shouldn't break the bank.
Right.
But what about when you need more?
Yeah, what about the bigger stuff?
So for what they call basic services, things like fillings, crowns, even local anesthesia,
Okay.
you're probably going to run into a deductible there. That's the amount you got to pay before your insurance kicks in.
Right.
And then after you've met your deductible, there's usually coinsurance, which is a percentage of the rest that you still got to pay, maybe like 20%, something like that.
Okay.
There might also be limits on how much the plan will pay for each specific service.
Yeah.
And then usually there's a total annual maximum that the plan will pay out for all those basic services.
Gotcha. So you pay some upfront, then they cover a percentage, but only up to a certain limit.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the really big stuff? The
Right.
stuff that can be really expensive.
Right. So we're talking about oral surgery, beyond just simple extractions,
Okay.
root canals, periodontics, bridges, implants. You're usually looking at a higher coinsurance rate there,
Okay.
maybe 50%, something like that. And they'll probably have limits on how much they'll pay for each procedure.
Okay.
And, also keep in mind, there might be limits on how often you can get certain things. Our sources mentioned denture replacement, for example. They might only cover that every 5 years or something.
Okay.
And then, like we said before, orthodontics often has its own separate deductible, higher coinsurance, and its own annual maximum.
Gotcha. So the more complicated it is, the more you're probably going to have to pay and the more restrictions there'll be.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really stresses the importance of like understanding the details of your plan.
For sure.
So what happens when you're looking at a treatment plan that could be really expensive? Our sources mention this thing called predetermination of benefits. What is that, and why is that a good thing?
Yeah, this is a really smart thing to use.
Okay.
A lot of plans recommend it. Some even require it.
Okay.
Basically, your dentist submits the treatment plan to the insurance company, especially if it's going to be over a certain amount, like maybe $200, $300, something like that.
Okay.
So the plan outlines everything they're going to do and how much it's going to cost.
Okay.
The insurance company looks it over and sends back what they call an explanation of benefits, or EOB,
EOB, okay.
which tells you how much they're going to cover and how much you're going to have to pay.
Okay.
So it's really helpful for planning.
Right, so you don't get surprised later.
Exactly. It gives you a chance to talk to your dentist about different options. Maybe there's something less expensive,
Right.
and you can figure out how to budget for it all.
Right, so it really helps you be an informed, like, dental consumer.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about all the things that dental insurance usually covers.
Right.
What about the stuff they don't? What are some of the common things that are excluded?
Yeah, there are a few things to keep in mind,
Okay.
like cosmetic treatments, like teeth whitening, that's usually not covered.
Okay.
And if you want something that's considered beyond what's necessary, not really medically needed, that's probably not going to fly either.
Okay.
And here's a weird one. Routine oral hygiene instruction. Like how to brush and floss properly.
Yeah.
Not always covered.
That's so strange,
It
though.
is. Especially since they're all about prevention.
Right.
Other things that are often excluded are replacing teeth that were missing before you had coverage,
Okay.
finishing work that was started before your coverage started,
Right.
and replacing lost dentures.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and if you hurt your teeth at work and it's covered by workers' comp,
Right.
your dental insurance probably won't cover it. And then treatment at government facilities is also usually excluded.
So you got to really keep these exclusions in mind when you're thinking about your options.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of people, including myself, get their dental insurance through their job. Is there anything special we need to know about those plans?
Yeah, there's one big thing to watch out for. It's whether your dental coverage is part of your main health plan,
Yeah,
integrated,
right.
or if it's a separate standalone plan.
Okay.
If it's integrated, it might share the same deductible as your medical.
Yeah.
But most of the time, employer plans are standalone.
Okay.
They have their own deductibles and coinsurance and maximums.
So even if you have a health plan through your job, you can't just assume the dental plan will work the same way.
Right, you got to check. Now, our sources also mentioned something called minimizing adverse selection.
Adverse selection.
It
Okay.
sounds a little technical, but it's basically about how insurance companies manage their risk.
Okay, I can see how that's important.
Right. It's not like a sudden emergency. People often have some control over when they get dental work
No,
done.
like I can put off getting a filling until I have insurance.
Exactly. Or you might go for the fancy expensive option, knowing your insurance will cover some of it.
Right. So I bet the insurance companies try to prevent that.
They do. They put in some restrictions,
Like what?
like waiting periods. So you might have to wait a while after you get the insurance before you can use it for anything besides like preventive stuff.
Okay.
Or they might have limits for people who sign up late after they could have first gotten on the plan. And you might see lower benefit maximums during your first year.
Okay.
And unlike some health plans, dental plans don't usually let you switch to an individual plan if you leave your job,
Okay.
although, your COBRA rights would still apply.
Right. So basically, they're trying to keep people from just signing up when they know they're going to need a bunch of work.
Right. They're trying to be fair to everyone.
Okay. So just to quickly sum up, dental insurance can really help with a lot of different treatments, from basic cleanings to, implants. You got to understand what kind of plan you have. PPO, indemnity, scheduled, non-scheduled, all those things. Deductibles, coinsurance, annual limits, per service limits, all that fun stuff.
Definitely.
And don't be afraid to ask for that predetermination of benefits, especially if it's going to be expensive.
Great advice.
And knowing about those common exclusions and the details of your employer's plan can really help you avoid surprises.
For sure.
So, listeners, here's something to think about. With dental costs going up and all these crazy details, how does understanding all this empower you to make better
Is
decisions?
really important.
Not just about your oral health, but also your finances.
Yeah, they're connected.
What other questions do you have about your own dental care and what insurance is out there?
Yeah, it's worth looking into.
It's definitely something to keep learning about.
Absolutely.